Aaron Portsline, good friend of the show from Columbus Dispatch, joins us. Aaron, how are you?
Good, Jason. Yourself?
Well, I'm not as good as Ryan O'Reilly, I'll tell you that. Hey, my life's pretty good, but I'm not getting 10 mil on July 1st next year.
I like that these guys, $1 million in the salary just is like, you know, spending money.
Yeah.
Right? The rest will be in bonuses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what? If he was smart, he would take that $10 million, put it into a bank account. He could just live off the $1 million a year. That'd be easy.
Oh, absolutely. If he were smart.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you hope. You see all these big money things, and the longer I cover this league, the more I think about stuff like this. Just hope these guys are surrounded by not just the right agent who does the contract, but the right people after the fact that can handle this stuff in the right way so it's not just wasted and squandered. I mean, they're getting more and more creative with these contracts, and boy, you just hope the money's being taken care of.
Yeah, well, you know, you hear it every now and then of guys who are getting swindled out by financial advisors, and you know, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And hopefully, you know, part of it to me, you know, obviously you can't hold people's hand all the way to the bank, but I know that they have some courses or, you know, one or two classes on that, but it's something that, as an organization, man, I would have somebody in my organization where we'd go out and find somebody who could work for us that we wasn't going to screw these kids out of money later on in life.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. And you'd think the PA would do more, too.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point for the PA. Yep. Brandon Saad, 52 points last year, kind of a breakout year. Everybody loves this guy. He's a two-time Stanley Cup winner. He's very young. He's only 22 years of age. He's going to be looked upon to be somewhat of a, maybe not an emotional leader, Aaron, but of a winning leader for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, which I think is a really big deal for them. Only 22 years old, as you said, but this guy is gone. He's played 63 or 65 playoff games the last 3 years, right? He's coming to a franchise that's played 10 in their entire history, right? And there's a lot of the guys in the room that don't have long histories. There's a few guys who do. He can certainly come in handy that way. As Ryan Johansson said the other day, you know, in big moments, it's not so much the words, it's how people handle themselves. And this is a guy who's been in the biggest of the big moments, the biggest moments that the NHL can provide for anybody. And he's regarded as a very, very good playoff player, not a supporting player, but a leading player in the playoffs, a go-get-em guy, and people get behind him. And he's, as you said, he's still a very, very young guy.
Him and Johansson, I would think, are automatics to play together.
That's been, Jarmo Kekalainen threw that out, and you would suspect that Foligno will be on the right side, or maybe Cam Atkinson will be on the right side. That's a big line. That's a lethal line right there.
Oh, the Blue Jackets are a team that it's really hard to get a gauge on because they were so decimated by injuries last year, Aaron, but I had them as a playoff team last year because I don't think anyone could predict they'd lose that many players to injury. Do they have a weakness in your eyes? Like, is there a weakness on that roster, a glaring area that they've got to improve still?
Yeah, well, now that they've beefed up the forwards, I think the back end is glaring. Not, I don't think it's so poor that it can't get them into the playoffs. I think it's fine. I think it's enough to get them there. But if you look at the teams that have done well, especially recently in these playoffs, they all have those big-minute, puck-moving, skilled guys. Right now, Columbus's guy, the minute muncher in those big games is Jack Johnson. And he's better than a lot of people, analytical people especially, would have you believe. But I don't know if that's your guy if you're a team that's going to make the long run. They've got Ryan Murray, and this is the linchpin to all of this. If he's healthy and can play, I think it changes the look of the back end entirely. He missed almost all of last season. If he can play, it's a different look on their top four. If he can't, then I think they really need help back there if they're going to do anything in the playoffs. But as they're presently constructed, I think it's a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, one of the better teams in the Metro.
Aaron Portsline joins us. Marco Dano, what kind of player are the Blackhawks getting?
Yeah, a very interesting player. This is the player that was really hard for Columbus to give up. Wennberg had sort of emerged to the point where Anisimov had become expendable. Dano's a hard guy for them to get rid of. Young, dynamic, an unusual player, built and skates like Mark Recchi, has a flair for sort of what I would call offensive eruptions. He's not a a consistently dangerous player. Nothing he does looks textbook, but he's one of those guys that just, he lights up the rink with his energy and his pace. I think Chicago's going to love him. I think he's a third-line guy probably on that team right now, a second-line guy at his peak in a few years. But that's the player. I have to believe that this deal started with Kirby Reichel in that place, and the Blackhawks wouldn't do it, so Columbus had to up the ante. Still think it's a great deal, but they hated to part with Marco Dano.
Yeah, and Anisimov is going to go to Chicago and be a second-line guy. Now, he's been close to 40 points a few times. He didn't really get to play a lot of offensive situations. Do you think this is a guy who can be a 50-point player for the Hawks?
I think 50 is reasonable. I mean, especially if Patrick Kane is on his line, right? Perhaps Hossa. Yeah. I mean, that's going to help. He has historically been a 15-goal to 20-goal player and a 40 to 45-point guy, and a good face-off guy, really good defensively, has incredible reach. Finally, the Blackhawks will be able to settle down that number two center spot. I don't think he's a plus number two center per se, but you don't ever have to worry about your team defensively when Anisimov is on the ice. I think he'll be fine there, but he's not going to wow people, but he'll be a very solid guy that Quenneville will trust.
Looking at the salary, Ryan Murray, David Savard, Dalton Prout are all RFAs next year, and Boone Jenner, right? Now I know Renee Bork comes off the books at 3.3, so that's that they'll save some money there. But are the Jackets going to have to move some guys out, do you think, between now and the start of that following year, when you look at just four or five young RFAs?
Yeah, well, I would think you're going to see Columbus get started on extensions for Boone Jenner and for Ryan Murray right now.
Okay.
And Murray's risky. I mean, it's hard to sign a guy coming after a season where he's played, I think, 10 games. But they believe in this guy. I think he's going to have a hell of a career. I think they might sign him. I know they're going to at least have talks here. That's how it works. If you can get them done this summer, maybe it's cheaper than if they both have big years and you make a long playoff run next spring. That would not surprise me at all. Bork will come off the books next year, you'd have to assume. And they've got some flexibility. I have not entirely ruled out a possible Hartnell trade. 28 goals last season. That might be the best season that Hartnell's going to have the rest of the way. I don't think it's a player that they would desire to trade. I think they like having this abundance of scoring forwards. But I think he could be had the rest of the way for the right price as this month moves along.
Aaron Portsline joins us from Columbus. Aaron, looking at the blue line, one guy you didn't mention who played for Canada, David Savard. A lot of people really high on him. Just a solid defensive defenseman. Somebody who's when you start building teams to win, there's a guy you need in your second pair.
Yep, and a great story, really. I mean, this is the guy when Jarmo Kekalainen and John Davidson got here. It looked like his time in Columbus was on the verge of being over. There was a chance. They thought long and hard about even offering him a qualifying offer two summers ago. And then he got his game together. He got his physique together, if you will. His workout schedule in the off season has changed himself as a player entirely. Has pretty good offensive skills. Has become a very rugged type defenseman, which none of these things that were emerged because he wasn't in the shape he needed to be to thrive. And they it's rare for a team and management to mention somebody by name.
Yeah.
But they did. They called him out after the 11-12 season. And to his credit, he's changed things. And they still think there's a lot of room between his head and the ceiling. He's played with Jack Johnson the last couple of years, almost all of last season. And it's turned out to be a pretty good defensive pair. I think they still think there's another level there for Savard to get offensively.
One last one for you, Aaron. There was all the rumblings that Brandon Saad was going to get, was an offer sheet, and that's why Chicago traded him. Were the Blue Jackets that team?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't. I mean, they were looking at this offseason as they'd like to get a top four defenseman, a power play type defenseman. And I think they went after Dougie Hamilton. I think they wanted Noah Hanifin. I think they were in on Kevin Shattenkirk, who I still think might move. I don't know if Columbus has the pieces to get it done or not. That's where their target was. They came away from the draft talking to the Blackhawks about God knows what. And look, I think it was Patrick Sharp coming to Columbus and the Blue Jackets said, I don't know. I don't know if we need Patrick Sharp. And then it became Brandon Saad, and the ears perked up. I don't know that they went looking for Brandon Saad. I just think what presented in front of them was a trade offer that they thought makes this team dramatically better. It makes them so much more forceful up front. It's a very difficult team to play against, as you said. They still have to fix the back end. I don't think they're urgent to do that, but I don't think they would have gone the offer sheet route for Saad. Maybe somebody else does with Chicago, because you could mess them up because of their salary cap restrictions. Columbus is not in a similar vein, but I don't get the sense Columbus was going after Brandon Saad until they found out that he was available.
Aaron, always good to talk to you. Enjoy some time off.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chase. Talk to you soon.